that love us and those that don't. God, as you did when you were hanging upon the cross, Lord, you said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Lord, let's accept and believe the same way. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalm 86. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy.
Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee.
Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily.
Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul.
For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee.
Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications.
In that day, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me.
Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works.
All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name.
For thou art great and doest wonderful things. Thou art God alone.
Amen. Teach me the way, O Lord. I will walk in the truth until my heart to fear.
I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore.
Great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell.
Thou hast risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them.
But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth.
O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thy handmaid.
Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast humbled me and comfort in me. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Praise the Lord. Praise him. Amen. He is the help and the comfort. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Your desire for a closer walk with him. Amen. Let's sing 124, Just a Closer Walk. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to thee. And we're singing, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. A world of toils and snares. If I fall matter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden share? Singing just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Feeble life, when my feeble life is old, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely, to thy king, and I'm sure to thy shore, and we're singing just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, oh Lord, let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Praise him, Brother Michael.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. We'll sing Fill My Cup. Amen. You ready for the word this morning?
Amen.
Amen. You got your cups ready to be filled? Amen. Well, let's go ahead and stand on our feet as our brother will come out on this song. And just lift your heart. Let's just empty out our minds and ask him to fill our cups this morning. Use our brother in a mighty way this morning and just speak to our hearts. Amen. Fill my cup.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul.
Jesus,
there's my cup, fill it up.
Amen. Be ready to eat this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Glory.
So fill my I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, oh, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me
thirsty today.
Thirsty.
You've got no
Here's my cup, Lord.
Fill it up and make me whole.
Amen. God bless you. Turn around and shake somebody's hand and say, God bless you. Good to be here today. God bless you all. Good to have you with us today. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Happy Father's Day to all you fathers. Thank God we have a Heavenly Father. Amen. Love you, buddy.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Without Him, we wouldn't be here.
Absolutely not.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. I love that song. Heavenly Father, I appreciate all you've done for us. All the things, all the, even the heartaches. Hello, somebody.
Yes.
Even the heartaches.
Yes.
Take the good with the bad. That makes the good better.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
going through trials and tribulations. Boy, when you come out on the other side, it's a testimony.
Yeah.
Amen.
Absolutely.
For a Christian, now the world don't know how to handle things, and they're just going back crazy. And can't go back the other direction. So why do we want to be out there? We want the protection of our Father under His wing. We want Him to take our life and be in complete control. So good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see each and every one of you. There are really no visitors here because they've all been here before. So we'll start over here with Sister Brianna Bray and Brother Jeremiah Bray. And that is Sarah and Sharon Carter. And then you've got Amariah and Zoe back there. Bob and his family are in at their church preaching today, and they're up here, so fair trade. You can tell Bob I said that. No, I'll tell Bob I said that. Fair trade. I'll take them four for them other four. We'll get them all down there. But thank y'all for coming today, and God bless you. Brother Matthew Bray is the dad of the of Jeremiah and Brandon. We love them with the love of the Lord. They're kin to them Barlabon. Their mama is, so we sure appreciate having them with us today, and we appreciate all of you that come. We appreciate the time that we have to serve the Lord. Amen? So let's just get these announcements out of the way. Brother Luis will be preaching for us Wednesday night. Now, he is in Orlando with his family. Brother Bob, obviously, is with his family in Beaufort today ministering. And Brother Aaron and Sarah, they're on vacation, and they're heading on back today, and so is my sister and brother-in-law. So we got a good bit out, but we got a good bit here, so we'll just go ahead and preach, if that's all right. All right? So just remember those as they travel back, though, because they'll be coming back today. Also, remember the prayer meeting we're going to have on the 24th. That'll be Saturday at 7 o'clock. We always now have a prayer service before we have a meeting, and our meeting, our July the 4th meeting will be on July 1st and 2nd. That'll be our 53rd anniversary meeting, 52nd anniversary meeting, 53rd, sorry. And that's July the 1st at 5 o'clock. Brother Jewel Forney will be with us. And Dad, Brother Jewel called a few minutes ago and said, Happy Father's Day. Brother Jewel always calls. Sometimes he's a little bit late, but he always calls Mom on Mother's Day and Dad on Father's Day. So he just called a few minutes ago. But he will be with us that Saturday afternoon or evening at 5 o'clock. Then the next day will be regular service at 9:45, but only one service. And Brother Mike Altig will be ministering for us that service. And also, you will have a catered meal after the service. That's July 1st and 2nd, Saturday and Sunday. Also, remember now, July the 14th, 15th, and 16th, we will be at Brother Andre Head's for our youth service. If you need to sign up, we've got like 51 signed up, so about half of you. And I got the sign-up sheet back here because we've got to kind of get the how many rooms we need together. So if you would like to go, like I said before, it's for the youth, but you surely are invited to go. But please, if you put your name down, go, because we're getting a block of rooms, and we're going to have to pay for those rooms. And if you say, well, I know there's emergencies, okay? I know that. But if you just put your name down hoping, you need to let me know you're just hoping. because those rooms are going to be taken up, and then they're going to be empty because nobody's going to be able to use them if we put you down going. So just remember that. Keep that in prayer. Brother Joel Brown will be doing the service on Saturday while we're up there. The 14th will be just fellowship and food. 15th will be at a Methodist youth camp or youth retreat thing. We have it all day long on Saturday. And Brother Joel Brown will be speaking Saturday evening. And then on Sunday morning, I'll be speaking to Brother Andres. And then we're going to go eat at the Farmer's Daughter, which is a Amish restaurant. And if you are going, you need to let me know that you are staying to eat, because they're going to give us a room by ourselves if we have, you know, 25 or 30 of us stay. So I know several are planning to stay, several are not. But you need to let me know. Please let me know if you're going to stay after Sunday service and eat. That will be at Irwin, Tennessee. Brother Joe has talked to Brother Andre Friday. And he's getting all, compiling everything together, the itinerary and where we're going to be. And he'll give you all the addresses and phone numbers in case you need it, because we are not paying to get you up there. All right, you got to take your own way, get your own way up there, and your food outside of the camp. But we are, as a church, paying for your rooms, the one night or two night that you're staying up there. We are paying for that. So if you'd like to carpool, please do get with somebody that's close by you or somebody that can pick you up. But the church is not providing that at this time. But we are providing the biggest part, and that's most of the food and the lodging. All right. So we appreciate Brother Dale for letting us do that. So also the Bethel camp. What are the dates again? Is it up here, Ryan? Oh, Amaron, what's the date? October what? 19th. Is it that weekend? The reason I ask you is because Brother Matthew approached me at the wedding several weeks ago and asked for help. And I've done it. Sister June and I have done it at Burley's camp. If you short-staffed, it's bad news. Remember some of y'all coming and helping us? Because me and Sister June fed 100 people by ourselves. So I would like to, if you could participate and sign up to go, I'd appreciate if some people from this church would take it upon themselves to go. I'm going to try to go. Sister June's going to try to go. But they need kitchen staff bad, because they've got to do all the meals while they're there. And that's several hundred kids, not just 75 or 80 or 100. It's going to be several hundred children, young adults. I'm sorry, don't say children, young adults. So just keep that in your prayer. Take the block of time off and go over there and help. Sister Rachel's kind of one that's going to tell us about it here, and they've already asked her to help. So we appreciate if you would help them. If we pull together, the load's a lot lighter. Amen. All right, so all minds clear. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day that you've given us. Father, it's a time that we honor Father's Day here on earth. But thank you, Father, that before the dawn of time, you were already a father. When you said, let us make man in our own image, and in your likeness we were made. Thank you, Father, for that. Thank you that we were born again, that we have a new life. And this life that we live now craves the Word of God, and it craves going to church, and it has a desire to have fellowship and friendship and just come around, Lord, in a sanctuary, or even when you're standing around talking, Lord, you're there in our midst. Father, I pray that you'd be with the ones that are not here, that you'll keep them safe on the highways, that you'd be the ones that are sick, Father, the ones that are not with us because of that. Thank you for the ones that's traveled, that coming through, Lord. I pray that you'd give them traveling mercies back home. Forgive us of our sins, Father, and just be with us now as we talk about you, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we've been on the Son of Man, and we're going to continue on heading up to the Son of Man. But we're on the statue of a perfect man, and we'll bring out a few things today, a little bit, an addition to. So let's read John 1:1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. and the Word was God. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. In other words, it wasn't hidden. We beheld His glory. The glory of the only begotten Father, of the Father, full of grace and truth. All right, 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. You may be seated in the Lord as blessing to the reading of the Word. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, in other words, without argument, without us having to go in to ask 13 or 14,000 different people, denominations. All right, there's 12 or 13,000. Brother Brown said there was 900 back in the 60s. Well, there's 13,000 now if you look it up. And I know it's true because it's on. I got it off the internet. Praise the Lord. Anyway, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. So there is a mystery, and it is great. And it's of godliness. And as we've been talking, where is that godliness now? Colossians 1 verse 21 says, in you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. Hello, we were all there. Amen. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable. In other words, we have a new father. Yes. All right, we were birthed by our first father. And that we were birthed into death. Come on. But now, by the new birth, we've been birthed again. That's why Jesus said you must be born again. Birthed into life by our new father. Or by our father, the original one. All right? So now, in Colossians, it says, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you. He's going to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. All right? Everybody with me? That if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard. All of you in this building have heard the truth. You have heard what the world is looking for. They're looking for a trumpet. They're looking for a to bring God on the scene. No, it's a message. And that message has already sounded. The trumpet is sounded. And you're a recipient of hearing that message. And you're also a recipient of sounding that message. Amen? Final voice. Final trumpet to the final age. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature. Yeah, it's hot in here. Which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Time out. Now I'm the janitor. Well, Aaron's not here, so that was easy. Who now rejoice? All right, now time back in. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you? This is Paul talking. He's a minister. He's ministering this gospel to his people. Well, the word is eternal, so he's ministering it to us right now. Amen. Who now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is what? The church. All right, he was building the body of the church of the first church age. He was starting to build this body that God was going to inhabit. All right. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now watch. Even the mystery. Now, here we go. There was a mystery of godliness, right? Listen, it's a total mystery to the world how you can live godly. But you can. All right? Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and generations. So, in other words, it's been hid. But now is made manifest to his preachers. That's not what that says. That says to all of us. To his saints. That's me and you. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. So what is the mystery of godliness? What is this great controversy that the world has come upon now that they don't even know what gender they are? Now you got the Methodists, they split on the gays and all that stuff. Now you got the Southern Baptists, the good old Southern Baptists. They're splitting from a group because they're letting women come in and preach. Well, praise God for the Baptists that are standing strong. But listen, we don't have to fight that fight. Oh, we have faith to fight in the message. Don't get me wrong. But we don't have those major doctrines to tear our church apart. I mean, the heavenly days, if you think of... anyway. All right. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or complete in Christ. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his work, which worketh in me mightily. Praise God for a man named Paul. Amen. But praise God for a man named William Branham. Amen. That brought us to truth. All right, so now that we can come to godliness, now that we know what godliness is, we know, as I've been telling you many, many times before, if you look at the world and you say, well, that's an ungodly generation. You know what the most ungodly thing is? False doctrine. False doctrine is the most ungodly thing in the world. He hates that. He hates that deeds of the Nicolaitans. He hates those things that were supposed to be the great church of Jesus Christ, yet we're worshiping the devil. Now, I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about the world, the denominational world. Because, listen, sin is not all the smoking, drinking, cussing, running around, and all that stuff. Brother Brown already made that real clear. He said the greatest sin was unbelief. All right? So now that we've been brought the truth and we start believing the truth, we can come to godliness. All right? Which is reverence, our respect, our piety towards God. Statue of perfect man, Brother Brown. I took this quote and condensed it down. He was talking about godliness, and Brother Brown said, "You say I can't do that, Brother Branham." Oh, yes, you can. All right, now listen. What did the prophet come to do? He comes to tell us the mind of God. He comes to tell us what God wants us to know without any filter, without any denominational idea. He wanted us to know the truth. So Brother Branham is preaching the truth in the statue of perfect man. They say, "Oh, Brother Branham, we can't do it." I'm sure he's discerning all over the building. And they're like, "Well, we can't do that. We can't do this. We can't do that." And he said, "Oh, yes, you can." Then he proceeds to tell us how. And here's a hang up. Deity. That word deity, we just pull away from. I'm not deity. Well, the prophet of God said, if you have the new birth, you are deity. Okay? So deity is supernatural. Now you wasn't born a deity. All right? You weren't born a deity, but you were born in sin, but you became into this family of God by the new birth, which makes you deity. The divine nature of deities is believed to be immortal goodness and powerfulness. Any supernatural being. Listen to what Brother Brown said. He swore by himself. Let's save reading. Let's read the red. In it, the same life that was in this corn down here at the first stalk is in it up here in the ear and the grain just the same. It just went on and on and on. The same God was in the pillar of fire was in Christ Jesus. The same one in Christ Jesus in you. Do we believe Brother Brown was a prophet? I just want to make sure I'm in the right congregation. That's right. God in you, the hope of glory. Is that right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit dwelling in the person now, you become what? Sons of God. He's just a portion of God. And what is God? God is deity. All right? Now, Brother Brown, in Faith and Substance, 1951, he said, deity. It fell on the day of Pentecost. It's still falling. All right? So if you say, well, that was for them. Well, now it's for us. If you receive the new birth, you receive deity. You receive not a second person of a Trinity. You receive the person of Jesus Christ in spirit form called the Holy Ghost. All right? The Brother Brown was talking about now, he's moving up to at the spoken word's original seat. I want to hear what, I want to hear what my father said about me. All right, I don't want to have to go to Instagram, Facebook, or anything and hear what somebody else said about me. My father knows me better than anybody. All right, so this is where Brother Branham says the Holy Spirit told him to pick up this pen and write. And as Sister Cleta and I were talking the other day, he was so inspired he had to go back and read it again because he didn't even know what he wrote. That's how inspired, that's how much the Holy Ghost took over and wrote this whole summation. To me, this is the summation of the bride of Jesus Christ in the end time. Now, here is what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction, bringing forth of its kind, Genesis 1:11. These last days, true church bride comes to the headstone. So it's got to come to the headstone.
Amen.
All right? We are headstone people.
Yes,
all right? We will be the super church. You say, boy, we don't look like it now. You're just not looking through the right set of eyes. We are a super church because we are going in the rapture if we're born again. All that other group out there is not going in the rapture. And they're going to have to stand judgment. You and I are not. A super race. As the nearest the headstone. All right, now that's us going up the statue of perfect man. Even, look, they will be much like, so much like him. Now, what is the divine nature of God? That's what we're looking at now. This whole statue of perfect man is the divine nature of God. But it's now not the divine nature of God that we can't get to. It's the divine nature of God that we're required to have. All right, remember I read you a long, long time ago in sermon like 20-something out of 130 we're on, or 113. He said it's required. These virtues are required. They're required to what? They're not required to be a Christian. You can get born again and stay a baby. But who would want to somebody that's been in this message for 30 years and still be a baby? I wouldn't want it. I mean, as much as trouble as Josh did give us, he's not here right now. I wouldn't want him to stay a baby. I want him to grow up and be his own self. You know what? He's a father now. I want him to be that. That's a desire, is for him to be a father and have his own family and not be living with us. Praise the Lord. So anyway, y'all remember that, young kids, young adults. It says leave and cleave. They will be one. They will be in his very image. How are we going to be in the image of God if we don't look like him and act like him?
Amen.
All right? In the order to being united with him. They will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. Now look, this is the Holy Ghost telling the prophet to write to me and you. So this is the Holy Ghost talking to me and you. Today this is your love letter from your Father. Because the Father and the Holy Ghost is the same person. All right, everybody with me? Then from a little group of the true seed of the word, God will present Christ, a beloved bride, a virgin of his word. And through them and by them. Now wait. Through them and by them. All right, so it's got to come through us. The great mystery of godliness that comes to a group of people that were born in sin, that didn't have a chance, will be fulfilled all that has been promised for his word in the virgin who knows no man-made creed or dogma. That's why God had to send us a prophet. He sent us a prophet not to change the Bible, to make sure that we understood the Bible was written one way.
Yes.
Not 900 some different ways. One way. And we got away from that. And I'll read it to you in just a few minutes when we start talking about doctrine. Because listen, everybody's got to have a doctrine. Every church, Brother Bram said, you're not a church without a doctrine. Right. All right, so we got to have a doctrine. The word of promise in himself, like it was in Mary, God himself made manifest. He will act himself by his own word of promise. So to fulfill all that's been written of him, as he did when he came from the virgin womb. In other words, Jesus fulfilled so many hundred scriptures while he was here. Well, that's what me and you are to do. We're to fulfill. How many scriptures have we fulfilled? My, you can't even count how many that the bride of Jesus Christ has already fulfilled and going to fulfill. All right? Praise the Lord. That's what makes us the Word. That's what makes us the Word made flesh. All right? Type of the spirit womb now. So will the virgin now, accepting his word, be it unto me, as thou hast said, though it was said by an angel while it yet was written, word, Isaiah 9:6. In other words, Isaiah 9:6 was written back in the Old Testament, but an angel came to Mary and said, you're going to have this child, a virgin, and then she said, be it unto me according to thy word. All right? They will love him, love his, and will have his potentials. Now, we start talking about this word love, and we're going to talk about brotherly kindness or brotherly love in just a few minutes. That love is different. That love is not lovey-dovey, lovey-dovey. Amen? It's not filial love. When you get to agape love, and I'll read it to you this afternoon, Brother Ram talks about when you get to agape love, everybody says, well, God is love. God is love. Yeah, God's love, but God is still a judge. He can't go past His Word. You have to stay in the confines of His Word. You get outside the Word of God, guess what you get? You get judgment. And it ain't nice. And it ain't pretty, because you know what? God said in His Bible, I hate. Oh, you're quiet. Revelations. He said, the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Ah, God said, oh, wait a minute. God's a jealous God. Wow, this lovey-dovey person. Just love everybody. Come as you are. I drove by a church coming up here, and I'm not judging them. I'm letting them judge themselves. But the kids was running around. It looked like it was school time. I mean, they had on their shorts. They had on their hats. Had on T-shirts. I mean, you know, they were going to church. That's not godliness. You and I are godliness. All right? They will love Him. Love His and will have His potentials, for He is their head. And they are His subjects, subject to His head. The headship of Christ was His. Notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until seen of the Father, or the Father showed Him first. Harmony between God and Christ, see? Now, if you stop right there, you say, well, okay. Brother Brown said, soul of the bride. What? Soul of the bride have harmony with the Father. And Christ, same person. And He shows her His word of life. He shows her and she receives it. Now remember, this is the Holy Spirit writing to me and you. Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. Then I got a great big hallelujah. He wrote that Himself. Here is the secret. The word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what He wants done with the word. So when we come to faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, that knowledge is what? Knowing what to do with the Word of God. Not knowing how to show how smart we are. Somebody say amen. It don't puff you up. That knowledge does not puff you up. That knowledge will humble you, that God would come to a simple group of people and open the Word of God to us. And it be in our time and in our season. See, when Brother Branham was there, there was a time and a season for them in that Pentecostal age. But remember in the Sixth Seal on questions and answers, he said, you're not getting this. It's not for you. In other words, it was for us. They heard the sound, but they didn't understand. Bible says if the trumpet makes a what? Uncertain sound. Because remember, that's the only way they could communicate back in the Old Testament. If you had an army way over here and you were part of the west wing of the army, there wasn't any cell phones and it wasn't even time to do smoke signals. You blew a trumpet. And whatever the sound of that trumpet was, retreat, charge, whatever more, you listened to that sound of that trumpet. And if the trumpeter gave a wrong sound, guess what? If it said retreat, and the sound was, you go forward, you'd be in bad shape. Well, that's what's happened to the Word of God. The Word of God came through the trumpet called the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The trumpet. And then man has what? Changed the notes. Come on. Man has changed the notes. God didn't change the notes. Man changed the notes, so it made an uncertain sound during the church ages. But now in the end time, right here, he's telling us he's bringing it back center. He's bringing it back so that we can understand it. He's bringing it back so that we can not be different, but be different. The Word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what He wants done with the Word, and she does it in His name. She has thus saith the Lord. Then it's germatized, so the Holy Spirit waters it until it's grown and serves its purpose. They do only His will. Amen. I'll believe that. No one can persuade them different. Now, we've been talking about godliness, and we've been talking about patience and all the different things. It's going to take every bit of that, though, for us to, as we were talking about the other day about the sower of the seed, falling into different ground. Well, that's your ground today. Today you either brought stony, thorny ground. You either got in a fight with your girlfriend, wife, husband. What are y'all smiling about? And you brought some stony ground in here. You brought some rocks, hard rocks, in this building. But some of you brought good ground. Some of you brought good ground, and that seed's going to fall in that good ground, and it's going to sprout up, and it's going to give you revelation, and it's going to help you through. Amen? So let's get rid of the stony places. Let's get rid of the thorny places, all right? it's you that brings the dirt in here. Hello, somebody. It's you that brings it in here, all right? They have thus saith the Lord, or they will keep still. Then they will do the works of God, for it is himself in them continuing his word to fulfill as he did completely in his day. In other words, it's going to be in this day. All things when he was here, he did not complete all, though when he was here. For it was not time yet. Why? The bride wasn't on earth. His natural body was on earth, but his spiritual body was not here. His spiritual body only started on the day of Pentecost, 11 days after he ascended. Everybody with me? So that's what the Holy Ghost said to me and you. That's not a third person, second person. That's not even me. I'm reading exactly what the Holy Ghost told the prophet of God to write to tell you. All right? To the doctrine which is according to godliness. So there is a doctrine that we must be under to take us to godliness and to brotherly kindness, because that's the two tough ones, because they're right up here at the very top. All right? I got this off the internet, so again, Jeremiah, it must be true. All right? What is a doctrine in simple terms? Britannica Dictionary, definition of doctrine. A set of ideas or beliefs that are taught, or they are believed to be true. All right? So now look, we all have a doctrine. Did you know that Jesus had a doctrine? What was Jesus' first doctrine? Don't look at that. What was Jesus' first doctrine? Brother Ram said it many, many times. Jesus' first doctrine out of his mouth was, you must be born again. Amen. Not you need to be, or you might can. You must be born again. Amen. So Brother Ram in 1961 says, now God bless his word. And I want to take the subject this morning of Jesus' first doctrine. And the first doctrine of Jesus was, you must be born again. That was his first doctrine. Now, in a way of Sunday school, so that I won't preach and horse myself up for tonight, I've thought in my heart that this is something that seems puzzling. Watch this. Puzzling. The new birth. And how to get it. Brother Brown said it was the most ill-taught subject. And I believe it still is the most ill-taught subject. It's not that you come in and sit down in a message church. You got to know Jesus Christ. When you know Jesus Christ, he'll bring you into the church. You won't have to be begged, pulled, prodded, or hogtied and drug in here. Right? You'll come of your own free will, because you know what? You come to talk to your father, your real father. He said, I thought it would be good this morning if we just searched this subject. Clear it out, and that's the first beginning. You must be born again. It's a very deep one. And we find out that there are so many different meanings that people put to it. Nearly all churches say you must be born again. All right? All churches say you must be born again. All right? Now, but not any church outside the message of the hour that I know of teaches that once you get born again, that gets you started, not finishes you. It's not once saved, always saved. It's once born again, always born again. You can't get unborn again. All right? Like I said before last Sunday, remember, you can be saved and not born again. But you can't be born again and not get saved. You got to come through that. But you can stop yourself at saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's not the new birth. Don't get quiet on me. That's not the new birth. That gets you started in justification. Saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost is what this church doctrine believes in. We find there's so many different meanings that people put to it. Nearly all churches say you must be born again. But each one has their different interpretations to that, what it means to be born again. I might go to the Methodist church this morning and they say, we believe that you must be born again. How do you interpret it? I go to the Baptist church. You believe you must be born again. How do you interpret it? And I would go to each church and we'd find if we went to all 900 different denominational churches, there'd be 900 different interpretations. So seeing that there are so many different interpretations and yet a Bible doctrine, there must be and is a truth somewhere. Same way with us. Our doctrine in this church is you must be born again. You must be justified, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost to receive the new birth. Because you can have the Holy Ghost on your flesh and in your spirit realm and die and go to hell. You can be just as black inside as the ace of spades. Amen? That's what anointed ones is. You better know that you know that you know that when that unclean spirit goes out, he stays out. You seal that thing up so nothing can get in and nothing can get out. Not just believe the message or believe God sent a prophet or believe Brother Dale or believe Brother Wayne. Well, we believe. What do you believe? I tell you what, you're going to prove what you believe. Regardless, it's like I said many, many times before, whatever's inside of you is going to come out. You can suppress it years and years and years, but all of a sudden, it's going to pop its ugly head up, or it's going to pop its real good head up, one of the two. So restoration of the bride tree, Brother Brown was talking about the palm worm, canker worm, and all the different worms that was eating this tree down. But I watch this. This little fella started to destroy. Destroyed what? Canker worm got the bark. Watch what it did. Began to destroy the bark. What did it do? It made a natural church for a spiritual church. And that's what we have out here. We have a natural church. They go to church. They do good. They give to missions. They pay their tithes most of the time. They do good work. But that's not what all God wants. He wants a holy life and something to go with that. All right? He wants us to be in his very nature. It made a natural church for a spiritual church. Yes, sir. It took away the true. Wake up. He took away the true and gave it a false. Who's he? God didn't. Satan did. The fruit, the pommel worm eat, the leaf, the locust eat. Now the bark, the covering, the religion, the doctrine. The doctrine the canker worm got. Where did that first doctrine come from outside of the Bible? Now, Jesus' first doctrine was you must be born again. That's in the Bible. All right? But outside the Bible, who started their own doctrine was the same guy that stood in the Garden of Eden and put that word not in there. God said, you shall surely die. He said, you shall not surely die. You historians, you know where it came from Rome, exactly where it started. There they started accepting dogmas. Why did you put that in there, Brother Wade? Our doctrine has got to be that we go up that statue of perfect man, that we come to the love of God, and that the Holy Spirit seals us as a unit.
Yes, sir.
Not just come in and sit down and you know, suck on our thumbs and eat our green pea, mashed up green peas. And no, I like meat. I got me a pork steak I'm going to eat just here in a few minutes. You know why? My teeth will allow me to do that. Even the ones that are false right now. So, but you know why? We're meat eaters. And even in the spiritual realm, we're meat eaters. We're eagles. Eagles eat meat. Eagles does not drink milk. Eagles eat meat. The baby eagle does not start drinking milk. It's the only one of the four beasts that doesn't. All them four beasts, three of them, start with drinking milk. The eagle starts with what? Mama chewing up the big pieces and putting them in the beak, in the mouth of the baby eagles. And then guess what? That baby eagle, you don't see a 40-pound baby eagle in a nest, I promise you that. Mama done kicked him out. So that's what Mama Eagle's done, or Daddy Eagle. He done kicked us out, and we're going to have to fly on our own. All right? So we got to have a doctrine, though. And our doctrine is we must be mature Christians. Somebody in this world is going to be a mature church. A mature Christian that knows what God wants done. That goes and reads that and says, Father, that ain't nothing but the truth. You told us you picked the pen up, and by an anointing, you wrote something on a piece of paper with a hand of a prophet, and he read it to us. And now what? Our responsibility is to live it. Palmworm caterpillar, if it so happens that your church doesn't believe, or you don't believe just the things we speak of in our church doctrine, we trust that it will be no means bringing offense. Because the very first step to successful Christianity and to show that man has received the Holy Spirit is humility. Real God-given humility. That it must be given humbly. But yet a church without a doctrine. But yet. We're not supposed to be jellyfish. We're not supposed to just roll over and play dead. We're supposed to, what Paul tells us, we're supposed to give a reason of the hope that lies within us. Not that Brother Branham said. I want you to be able to say, I say. I don't cut my hair because the Bible says, not because the prophet told me. I don't drink because the prophet said it. He didn't come to bring us that. He came to sharpen our pencil. He didn't change the way to be born again. He was exactly the same way Paul and Peter and James and John all preached it in the first church age. They preached, you must be born again. So, but a church without a doctrine is like a jellyfish. It has no backbone. So our church with the backbone believes that you got to be a mature Christian for God to be able to use you 100%. You can bring forth 30 if you want to. You can bring forth 60 if you want to. Or you can bring forth 100 if you want to. All right? So we've got to have backbone in it, and not also backbone, but teeth. Because the church of God must eat the bread of life. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. How many times you talk to people about the Lord during the week? How many times do people wonder by your actions if you know who the Lord is during the week? You can be silent all you want to. That's okay. Think about that, though. Genesis 1:26 is God said, let us make man our own image. So he's developing something made in his image and in his likeness. Now, we're made in the image of Samuel and Peggy Dale, me, Terrence, and Anna. All right? Right? We have their DNA. We have their genetics. All right? So we're made in their image and their likeness. And we walk like them. We talk like them. But that's our natural birth. Our spiritual birth, we're not supposed to walk by natural anymore. We're supposed to walk by the Spirit, which is a different walk. We're supposed to walk like this image tells us to walk. That's why this Genesis 1:26 is so important, because that's your new birth. So what comes to your new birth? The image of God. The image that God saw of you before the foundation of the world, which he loved so much, he brought this one together with this one, and this one with this one, and this one, listen, to get you here. And know what the prophet of God said? To get your DNA here, your genetics here, so that he can work on you in his likeness by the new birth. So God created man in his own image. This is where it was supposed to be. This is where it was supposed to come. We were supposed to come this way, not by sex, but by spoken word. We were not to come by sorrow and heartaches and trials and hurts and tribulations and all that stuff. We weren't originally made for that. But to fulfill the plan of God, he let it happen. And that tore us away from God. That took us away from this image and put us in a human image. But God said, hey, don't worry. I haven't left you. I'm going to come back in the image of my Father. Hallelujah. I'm going to come in the image of my Father because I got all these kids inside of me that sexually I'm not going to get out, because that's what's killing you already. No, I'm going to come as the woman's seed. Come on. I'm going to come as a woman's seed by my Father, and I'm going to make you a way to get back to this. Amen. By the new birth. Male and female created he them. And what happened? At the new birth, that's what happened. That image that God saw before the foundation of the world, that eternal image of you came to you. And as we were talking, it vulcanized with you. And you can't tear it apart. But now, can rubber vulcanize with rocks? Nope. Rubber has to vulcanize with rubber. You have to have a desire in your heart that God change your heart. Remember, we were born with a stony heart, according to Ezekiel. And he had to give us a new heart, which is not the new birth. He gave us a new heart, which was pliable, so that God can, as the master potter, he can throw us on the wheel and make another image. But you can't take a rock. I've watched them do pottery all my life. I live around pottery. They never have took a rock and put it on that wheel, turned it on, and here they go. No, it's still a rock. But you take that pliable clay, throw it on that wheel, and the first thing you do, you get a little water. And you start like this, and you think, man, there's no way that's going to be a 5-gallon jar. Because it's only a clump about like this. There's no way you're going to act like God. But the potter has a different story. The potter has an image in his mind. Well, praise the Lord. Stick your hand in, Lord. Because that's the first thing they do. They stick their hand in. They go down so far, but now, Sister Regina, they don't go so far to where they don't mess the base up. Somebody get this? They don't mess the base up. Base stays the same. Then he comes like this, and he brings that, and if it comes in and out, he just moves it with his hand. Get some more water now. You got to be washed by the water of the Word. He gets some more water. Amen? And he puts that thing and he makes it pliable. And man, it is amazing what they can make. It is amazing what you can get from a clump of clay. Well, listen, if man can do that, what about God? What about a godly image that we're supposed to be in? Give him your clay. Give him your clay and let him mold you into a godly image. Man, they'd make those strawberry jars and they'd make it and they'd make the lip and they'd even make the lip part that would go out to where the water would flow right through that one part. All while that thing's spinning. And guess who's spinning the wheel? They are. Full control. And you know what? If you spin that thing too fast, if it starts wobbling. Now, I have watched some potters they're all kin to Terrence, and They start over here, and they put too much pressure. And when it gets to wobbling, it falls off. That's his kinfo. Guess what they have to do, though? They don't throw the clay away. Thank God for that song. They don't throw the clay away. He just goes right back and says, hey, you messed that first trial up, buddy. We're going to try you again. We're going to put you on the wheel. We didn't give you enough water. In other words, you might have got under the pressure too much, and you got a little wobbly. Well, praise God. So that godly image only comes from God, but it comes through you. You've got to be the one that lives it. You've got to be the one that shows this godliness. So is it attainable? Yes, it's attainable. The Bible talks about godliness, the word theos, which is a deity. So here we go back to the deity part. Whatever can in any respect be likened unto God or resemble him in any way. God's representative, or vice regent, magistrates, and judges. 2 Timothy 3, verse 11 says, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me in Antioch and Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. So guess what? You got to endure some persecution. Yes, sir. But I didn't finish my story. You know what happens when you get finished with the pot? They're not finished with it. You can't put anything in it at the moment. Come on, somebody. Try, fill it up with water, and it be just sitting on the wheel. It's going to go. Why? Because it hadn't been put in fire yet. It hadn't been put in fire yet. And we used to unload them things. You'd have to put on big old gloves. Your tennis shoes would stick to the floor. That's how hot that thing got. But you know what? You put those pots in, and you just really, boy, Joe Craven would bust your hide if you broke one of them things, because that was $1.50 out of his pocket, probably out of yours too. But we'd set them things in there one at a time, and you'd stack them up, one upside down, one the other. in this kiln. You walked in, the oven's on both sides right here. You fill that thing up, and then you walk your way out to the end, and you seal it up. Oh, seal it up. Then you turn the heat on. Well, when he got finished, you didn't have to go in there and be so gentle. You had to be a little bit, but not so gentle. You could grab four at a time. Because why? Then they had hardened into a good Christian. That pliability had become what the potter wanted it to be. Not just something that's wishy-washy and all the way back and forth and back and forth. No, something that can be used. Joe Craven made millions selling them things. As Bob said Wednesday, 10,000 worlds. That's what your soul's worth. Not just one. One would be good enough. 10,000 worlds, the prophet of God tells us. Persecutions, afflictions, ovens, trials, tribulations. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We know that's the end time. All right? So we can live godliness. We can be godly. As I said before, you think I'm nothing, you sisters. You're the greatest testimony. I mean, when I walk into Walmart with my tennis shoes and my blue jeans and they don't have holes in them. Where's Deanna? They don't have holes in them. We used to send them. Well, Mama used to throw them away. If we were caught to Brother Kylie. Because they're right. We caught with holes in our britches. We got holes in our britches, all right. Pay out! Now they buy them for $100 a piece with holes in them. I should have kept all mine and sold them. This world is not my home. Look at the craziness, though, how they're dressing. But see, we've come out of that. We don't have to go to the salon and get our hair done and our nails done. Well, some of y'all do. Nails done. We don't have to go and, you know, open up the cabinet and then you got like $5,000 worth of Max Factor, all different shades and sizes. And isn't that Max Factor? Max Factor, yeah. Open up. Thank you. Open up. What did I say? Oh, sorry. Anyway, I have my coach with me today. But you don't have that. Praise God. I always said, I said, you look at the world, and there's some beautiful girls in the world, but they're all made up. I'd hate to see Dolly Parton at 7 o'clock in the morning. It'd be like that song we played the other day about Side by Side. There was more of the woman on the chair than there was in the bed because she took her eye out, she took her hair date out, she took her leg off, took her wig off, and her teeth out. Yeah. Well, that's what the world looks like to us, though. They look want to be so beautified and so put together. To me, it's ugly. And you know who? It's worth. Maybe I'll wake up. Some of y'all are still asleep. But that's what the world looks at and says, well, that's beautiful. It's ugly. Because it's like Daddy always said, you can paint a barn. You can paint an old barn with fresh red paint, but the old barn is still underneath that. Now, that's from your pastor now. He said that for years. But praise God, listen, we've lifted out of that. We don't have to do that. We don't have to go by the fashion of the world. Come on, I'll give myself a hand clap. If you love the world and the things of this world, the love of God is not in you. I didn't say that. The Father said that. We have to be in the world. We have to rub shoulders with the world. But remember, I read you that scripture the other day in St. John 17. Jesus did not say, I'm going to take you out of this world and put you in a bubble. He said, Father, they're in this world. So I'm going to pray for them. Not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the world. That's what our protection is. It's from the Word of God. I mean, you ever thought about that? I mean, thank God that our sisters don't have to buy $500 worth of Mary Kay. And, Lord, I work for the post office, and that thing comes in on a monthly plan, I think. You know, this Mary Kay comes in, and she's got like 50 packages. And I'm like, man, how much is in packages? They could be $50, $25, $150, Brother John. Praise God, Sister Alicia is not on that list. Amen? See, because that's not on your plan. Your financial plan does not include Mary Kay. If you buy Mary Kay, that's your business. But my wife don't need it. She's beautiful from the inside out. And that's all I worry about. I was looking at her the other day. She's so pretty. You know, Brother Brown told us. He said we'd all get old. He said you'd remember when your shoulders was all squared, you know. And your wife was all beautiful and fresh. He said, but when you get older, you still need to see that. The beauty that comes from within first. Amen. Praise God. That's why we were talking the other day about love. There's a lot of people in this world do not know. They say, I love this. Well, I do. I say, I love to hunt, Jeremiah. I love to hunt. Well, now, love is compared to what? Okay? Compared to the love of God. If I hunt while church is going on, I'd be a little different. So let's continue on. But praise God that we don't act like the world. We don't even think like the world. Right, Regina. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, if I had to act that way to make it, I'm sorry. Just wouldn't make it. But let's talk about brotherly kindness. Well, see, then we're on the path to godliness. All of us, you sisters, you brothers, even the brothers. You know, you don't have to worry about your liquor bill. Or your tax bill, or going to eat at a restaurant. Man, it costs still. Sorry, Brother John. It costs $20 or $30 a piece almost now to eat a meal. And if that ain't in your budget, you're in trouble. But what about them people that sit and drink 3, 4, 5 drinks before the meal? Thank God. That's not on my plan. You know why? Because, number one, it's stupid. Number two, it's not my desire. I don't care if they go up to $50 a drink. What does it matter to me? I don't care if they go up to $50 for a case of beer. Who cares? You see what you take in yourself. You say, well, that's kind of little. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Brotherly kindness. Let's talk about this just for a second, and then we'll close for the afternoon. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Y'all get your nap in between services. Or y'all going to be in trouble this afternoon? 2 Peter 1:5, besides this, in other words, besides the new birth, besides being born again, besides beginning to act like God, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, and to godliness, we've come now to brotherly kindness. And I'm going to tell you something, this is going to get tough. All these other things are inward. Okay? And all the faith is mine. Virtue is mine. But you give it out, but it's mine. Knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness is what's inside. But now brotherly kindness is something you got to give to somebody else. Brotherly kindness is something you got to give to somebody else. Because you got to love your neighbor the same as you do yourself. Well, get quiet because it's going to be here in just a few minutes. You know, Jesus said one time, he said, while you're praying, while you stand praying, forgive. He said, because if you don't, you won't be forgiven of what you're praying for. Wow. Philadelphia, brotherly kindness. That's the word for brotherly love, brotherly kindness. It's love of brothers or sisters, brotherly love. In the New Testament, it's a love which Christians cherish for each other as brethren. And we know that's not the same love for a wife. That's filial love. Agape love is brotherly love. Everybody with me? It's supposed to be anyway. Sometimes we get it all convoluted and it all comes down to something else. All right, so Philadelphia, love is brethren, loving brothers and sisters. Look, in a broader sense, loving one like a brother, loving one, as Brother Donnie always said, my family. This is your family. And praise God if your family is physically sitting here. But if your family is not physically sitting here, this is your family. I'm talking about blood. All right? This is your family. This is the one you're going to spend eternity with. Not that one. All right? Now look, God is love, but love typically produces obedience. Now watch. I thought I'd throw this in here. This is kind of a few quotes from a few places. But God is love. Now God is love, agape love, right? God is not filial love. God can't filial love. God can't lust. God can't have filial love. God is agape love, and that's it. God is love, but love typically produces obedience. Now look. And for all who refuse to repent and believe in Christ, they receive justice, which is true. For those who do trust in Christ, they receive what they don't deserve, called grace, and have withheld what they really did deserve, mercy. Which side are you on? Do you have eternal life, or do you still have the wrath of God abiding on you? You know, if you're born again today, the wrath of God will never touch you. If you're not born again today, you are under the wrath of God. All right? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Matthew 24, 12 says, and because iniquity shall abound. What is iniquity? Knowing to do better and you don't. Or knowing to do something and you don't do it. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Have you not seen that in this end time? It's all selfies. And we'll get to that in just a second, maybe real quick. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing you have purified your souls, and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned, or love that you can't contain, unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That word fervently, sincere, undistinguished. Brother Brown said, and you must be born again. So anything had a beginning, had an end. So see, every love had a beginning except agape love. Everybody with me? Because listen, if God loved you at the beginning, he can't unlove you anywhere else. Because he can't change his mind. All right? So we've got to get up into agape love. He led us and allowed us through Adam and Eve and what they did. He allowed filial love. And for us to have love for our wife, love for our... But still, even filial love has... It has, like, levels. You can't love... I don't love Deanna back there. She's my granddaughter. I'm sorry, I'd shoot every one of you for her. But I love my wife different than I love my granddaughter. But it's still filial love. Then we know what it goes down to. It goes down to all them other things. Do you ever think of that? God, the great master rainbow in the sky with seven spirits of God, red, perfect love. After that comes filial love. From agape love to filial love, that's the love that you have for your wife. If some man would insult her, you'd shoot his brains out. See, I wasn't very harsh, Brother Brown, would shoot his brains out. See, because it creates a jealousy. But that's filial love, secondary love. Then comes lust for another man's wife. Then comes filth. And we see that in the end time. See, it just becomes perverted. But all of this kind of love had a beginning. But when that real, genuine love of God that I've been talking about comes into the human being by the new birth, being born again, it had no beginning and it will have no end.
Yes.
You are then a son of God, a daughter of God, and your affections are on things above. Filial love would make you shoot a man for insulting your wife. Agape love would make you pray for his lost soul. That's the difference. Like Brother Dale, somebody asked him one time, a long time ago, said, would you shoot somebody if he's intruding in your house? Would you shoot somebody? He said, yes, I would. He said, but I'd pray for him till the paramedics got there. Right? Shoot first, pray later. So don't come. And I've never done that. I never went in his house without announcing who I was and what's going on, too. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, 1958. Let me read this and then we'll close. Musicians, get ready to come. And then the first great spirit of God, which is love. God's like a great rainbow. We couldn't imagine what he looks like. Look at the perversion in the world, what they've turned a rainbow into. Those are seven colors of God. Those are the seven spirits of God. Those are the seven things that God give us as a covenant, and the world is making it some garbage. LGBT and all that other stuff they're doing. They've used a rainbow. Well, I think we ought to take it back. Then again, the first great spirit of God is love. God's like the rainbow. We couldn't imagine what he looks like. But just say he looked like the rainbow in spirit, the perfect spirit of love, red, blue, the perfect spirit of fellowship, just all perfect spirits. And then you begin to condescend, coming down, and they come all the way down from filial love or agape love to filial love, and on down to lust and on down to the lowest. And then God himself became a man, Jesus, and came down that same way to the lowest pits of hell, picked out those who he knew before the foundation of the world, the Genesis 1:26 crowd, the born again crowd, all right, whose names were written on the book, and redeemed them back to itself. There you are. The story of redemption cannot be fully known until we see him and stand in his likeness. Listen, the full plan of redemption will not be understood until we get that capstone. When we get to the headstone, that's when it will happen. I'm going to go through this just a second, Will. I don't need that. Let me read this down here real quick. Musicians, come on. Everybody, let's stand. That's how much I had to miss. Don't look up. It'll make you sick. We're going to talk about that this afternoon. We're going to get to this. I said we'd get to it today, but we're going to get to selfish. Because you can't have brotherly love and be selfish. Selfish means to be selfish is to be concerned excessively and exclusively with yourself. Selfishness is one of the biggest obstacles to having the kind of close relationship with God and inspiring relationships with other people that many of us desire. Let me read you what the prophet of God said about this. This is 1950. Not 2023. Brother Brown said the people has got too selfish. Got to a place where they think they live in a little world by themselves. You know that's the truth. All right, listen to this. This is where I wanted to get to, but I'll read it this afternoon. But now this is your prophet, 1954. He says, I recognized the other day a selfish spirit coming upon me. A prophet. He got a selfish spirit. I'm just reading what he said. Don't criticize me. I'm reading exactly what he said. A selfish spirit coming on me saying, this man's wrong. I ought to tell him about it. That's wrong. We'll talk about the rest of it this afternoon. We'll get to that part. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Let's don't be self. We got selfie sticks. We got selfies. We want to show ourselves. Guess what? You're going to show who you are, I'll promise you that, without an Instagram or Twitter or whatever that. You're going to show who you are. Because this is the day of revelation. Let's sing a song before we dismiss. I appreciate you. Best week they ever have, and Lord, protect them on their vacation and give them a good time in you, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go and join. Don't worry.
Heavenly Father, I appreciate you.
Let's sing about the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
He promised he would send the comforter. He promised. But you got to be able to handle it because you got the handler inside of you. So turn it over to God. You must be born again. I wouldn't leave this building if I wasn't.
Heavenly Father,
you never know what's going to happen. Noah didn't shut the door of that ark. God shut the door. One day he's going to say, I'm done. This is enough.
Father,
I quit being a father. I've got all my kids in. Now I'm a judge.
I love you.
Thank you, Lord, for being our Father. Thank you for giving us a day that we can have, that we can appreciate our natural fathers. But, Lord, I pray that we would turn that attention to you now. And, Lord, give you of our fullness, our heart. Give you everything we've got, Lord. And, Lord, just protect us and be with us, Lord, as we go on the highways. Be with the ones that are here with us, Lord, and take care of them, Lord. May you give us a blessing that we can't contain, Lord, till we come back again, Father. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
To me.